And amen.
Hey, all right. So, past couple weeks, we've been talking about this, the book of Revelation, which freaks a lot of people out, but we've been kind of defreakifying it, and it's not as crazy as people make it out to be, although it is pretty crazy. But tonight, I want to talk to you guys about, since it is the day, which maybe some of you guys don't even know or really care about, but that's fine, whatever. It is the day of Back to the Future. I mean, it's the day Marty McFly and Doc Brown go to, and it's absolutely terrible. It's just got to be the worst idea of what the future is supposed to be like. Well, I guess maybe there's a couple others that could be pretty worse too. But it's just terrible. I guess we have to set the record straight. We have to talk about the future today, okay? We have to talk about the future. Not just any future, because who cares about the future? Let's talk about your future. Because that's what you want to know about, right? Like, right, like, you know what happens. You get, like, a big group picture. Who's the first person you look for? You want to know. Were my eyes closed? That's right, because that's what you care about, right? Let's just be real. This is church. You don't got to be fake. You don't get the church answer. I look for Jesus. Hey, Jesus ain't in your selfie, okay? Jesus ain't in your selfies. You're not looking for Jesus. You're looking for you. Did my makeup okay? Yeah, that's what you're looking for. And that's what it is. That's why you take 15 selfies before you post one of them. So, it's just true. I'm just being real. So let's talk about the future. Now, Revelation, we're still there. Revelation, the first chapter, God's speaking to the apostle John, and he's like, look, John, we got to talk. I'm going to tell you things that used to be, the things that are, and the things that are going to be. And most of God's conversation, most of the things that God shows John are in the future that we can, you know, kind of suspect. So there's a lot that God has to say about the future. Have you guys ever heard the verse Jeremiah 29:11? Yeah, okay, good. This is like a good church verse that everybody likes to put up on Pinterest. So if you turn to the book of Pinterest, we'll find this quote, okay? So it's God says, I know the thoughts I have of you, for you. Thoughts not to harm you. Oh, there it is. See, not to harm you, but to give you a future and a hope. That's what Pinterest tells us. It says, I know the thoughts I think towards you, says the Lord. Not Instagram. Thoughts of peace and not of evil. See, that's just nice to know. Because, you know, sometimes you think about God, you think, man, God must be really mad at me. Because, you know, you're a punk sometimes. And God, no, not you. But maybe, no, maybe me. We think sometimes, well, I can't go to church. I can't pray because God saw me earlier. And it's just, I feel really guilty. No. Stop it. Smack yourself. Just smack yourself real hard. Wake yourself up. It says, no, leave it up there. This is good. This is the Bible. Put it up there. It says, I have thoughts of to help you, to not to harm you, not of evil, but good thoughts. That's where you go, oh. Okay, some of you guys got that. Whatever. God has good thoughts about you. God has good thoughts about you. I would venture to say that when God thinks about you, he smiles. Oh. That's kind of cute, right? Like you have a nice smile. But God's smile, you know that's a good smile. It's probably one of those really big ones, too. Like, that's cool. I have thoughts of peace and not of evil to give you a future and a hope. Now, here's the thing people don't tell you about this verse. Is this verse is smack dab in the middle of a lot of jacked up stuff. And that's what makes this verse so powerful. See, this verse was originally written to people that were captive. It was written to this nation of people that God loved, and they were being attacked, they were being killed, they were being enslaved, they were being slaughtered. And this is what makes this verse so crazy that you don't even realize, is God wrote this verse to his people that he loved that were in the middle of a very, very difficult time. Could you imagine hearing God say this to you in the middle of you getting beat up, day after day. You're failing class. Your parents don't like you. Shoot, your dog don't even like you. That sucker ran away because he thinks you're a punk. And imagine your whole life, you have no friends. Your girlfriend dumped you. And to make it even worse, you stepped on a nail. All this stuff happens to you. Yeah, because that hurts. And then God says, look, mijo, I know the thoughts I have for you. The thoughts of peace. Really, God? Really? Really, God? No, 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 no. They're not evil. Now you're just playing, God. No, 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 God. God says, no, 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 no. They're thoughts to give you a future and a hope. See, that's what makes us so powerful, is that God's thoughts are this way about you, even when life's thoughts are evil about you. You see, God told us to his people to let them know that it's not going to always be like this. You see, your present situation will not dictate your future reality. And you need to recognize that. Number one is because you're a teenager. And being a teenager is a whole cup load of crazy, okay? It's just weird. Can a brother get an amen? All right? It's just a hard time in life, okay? I mean, life in general, newsflash, is hard. All the adults said amen. But being a teenager specifically is really difficult. It's like, just, I don't know, weird, right? I'm just getting all these flashbacks of junior high right now. Oh, God. It was hard, man. It was difficult. Oh, man. Never mind. Stop. I'm not going to tell those stories. Okay, so... But God wants you to know that right now, if life is difficult, or hey, maybe it's good, God still has, he has not forgotten about you. Look, everybody in this world can, your parents can forget about you, your friends can forget, look, but God has not forgotten about you. Because his thoughts, they remain. God's thoughts remain good towards you. And it's good to know, because not every thought or prediction turns out that way. Look, Angel Boy, Mark, we've all talked about it, right? Like, you guys have seen old movies about the future. It's just not that way. I mean, no hoverboards. I mean, they got those really cool things now with, like, the wheels and the LED lights, you know? Justin Bieber rides around on whatever. I don't even know what they are, but those things, like, those are cool, but that's not a hoverboard. It's got wheels and it's touching the ground. That's not a hoverboard. My car doesn't fly. We don't have fission power. You don't wear your pockets inside out. Look, it's just a whole bunch of nothing. You know that you're not wearing like shark skull on your head. It's just weird. It's wrong. There's this movie Arnold Schwarzenegger was in called Running Man, not the dance, something different. And he said in 2017 we're gonna be watching reality TV shows where you go on a show and try to kill each other like for money. Now, look, I know it's going to be kind of a weird presidential election, but it's not going to get that weird, okay? That's an old person joke. I'm sorry, that's an old person joke. But unless things go really bad in the next 6 months, that's not going to happen, because that's like illegal right now. This is not the purge, okay? There is no purge happening. So don't get any ideas. Don't get mad at Pastor Richard, okay? That's why I'm not going to tell you where I live. Because I don't want nobody wearing a mask in my house. Weird. I'm going to hit you with the bat. Okay, so, see, the predictions don't always pan out. So, it's all a matter of who you listen to. You see, when somebody talks about your future, you've got to recognize which voices to listen to. People call you a loser. They say you're ugly. You're never going to amount to nothing. When people compare you to maybe your father that's didn't turn out too well. When people say that you're going to be just like so and so, look, you don't need to listen to those predictions about your future, because it doesn't matter if your aunt has evil thoughts towards you, thoughts of no future and no hope. It don't matter what she thinks. Now, I love you. I know you love your auntie, but sometimes you should not listen to her, okay? It doesn't matter what your friends or the person at school that doesn't like you. You don't have to listen to those voices. The only voice you need to listen to, the only situation you need to listen to is the one of Jesus Christ. When he says, I have thoughts about you. I got a picture. I got a plan. I know where you're going to go. And I got big ideas for you. You listen to those. You listen to those thoughts. Those predictions about your future. Because everybody in this room has a future. Nobody in this room is an accident. You're not a mistake. And you don't have an expiration date of your usefulness. Everybody in this room can be used by God to do something great. No, that's all right. That's all right. I mean, if you believe it, then you can put your hands together. See, the bottom line is everybody's got a future. The bottom line is everybody's got a future. I mean, think about it. God's got a future, right? And I know it's kind of weird to think, but God has a future. Now, he's not getting any better or older because he's, like, already there, right? But God has a future. God has a future with us. God has a future set before us. I mean, think about it. God's going someplace, and he wants to take us there with him. The crazy part is the place that God's going is not easy for us. The place that God's going is not always the place that we want to go. There's this verse in Romans 8:28, and it says, where God says he will work all things out for your good. He'll work all things out for the good for those who are loved by him and called according to his purpose. The Bible says that's where God's going. You know, in Jeremiah 29:11, God says, look, I know things suck right now. The place I'm going is better than the place you're at. So stick with me and I'll take you to where I am, where I'm going to be. And it goes on and it says in 38, if you guys got it, go ahead and put 38. You guys are all over the place with me. Man, you guys are keeping up. Okay, it says, I am convinced. This is Paul writing. Paul's writing God's thoughts. He says, I'm convinced that nothing can separate us from God's love. Neither death or life, nor angels or demons, neither fears for today, worries about tomorrow. Not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. See, here's what I mean. When you look at a verse like that, God has a plan, and ain't nobody gonna stop it. Drop a bomb. Look, you can stop believing in Jesus all you want. You can stop going to church. Look. You can say all you want, write all the books. You could do it, but you can't stop God from doing what he wants to do. All hell can rise up today and just do whatever it wants. Look, demons, angels, life, death. Look, your fears or your insecurities are not going to stop God. God is going someplace, and you cannot stop him from doing his will. And that means in your life or my life, he is an unstoppable force. Here, I got an exercise for you. Go to the beach this weekend. Do it. All right. And then when you go to the beach, after you put sunscreen on, because that's important, try to stop a wave. Try it. I'd like to see you. And then come back and tell me how you did. And while you're at it, get me a corn dog. I mean, think about it. The entire world, all of the United States of America, trying to stop God's will is like you trying to stop a wave. You're not big enough, smart enough, strong enough. And your arms don't stretch out long enough. You can't. The Bible says that God's love is stronger than the powers of hell. Is stronger than our worries, than our fears. Demons, angels, life, death. Nothing can separate you from God's love. God's plan, his purpose, his desires for us are unchangeable. Now you can either get with it or you can get squished by it. You can either try to stop the wave and get all smashed up, or you can get with the program and ride the wave and look good doing it. You can't stop God's future from happening. And I want to be a part of it. I don't want to get left behind with it. Now, on the flip side, you think about it, Satan's got a future too. I mean, God's got a future and Satan's got a future. And I don't know how much you've thought about this, how many freaky movies you've watched, but Satan is real. Like, this world is more than what you can see. It's more than what you can feel with your skin, more than what you can smell or taste or hear. There's a spiritual aspect. I was just talking with some teenagers today, last Sunday, about spiritual things. They're like talking about ghosts and all this kind of stuff. And we're just having a chat about what the Bible says about all this kind of crazy stuff. And it's true. It's real. There's a spiritual world out there. And on the same thing, just like you believe in angels, got the, you know, your grandma got those little naked baby angels in her on her house. Now they don't look like that, you know. Now, hey, my guardian angel don't look like no naked baby angel. Okay, that dude's ripped, swole. I need all the help I can get. But on the real, look, the spiritual world is very real, and we easily believe in the good part of the spiritual world, whether it's our spirit or angels. But we don't like to think about the evil things. And just like there's evil people, there's evil spiritual forces out there. But you see, before people get freaked out about that, or next time you watch some type of weird movie with some possessed old lady crawling up the wall with her head spinning around, dragging you to hell, whatever the case is. Number one, don't watch those movies. They preach that, Pastor Joe, from the back row. Unless you're crazy, you want those things to follow you home. The cucuy. La llorona. Yeah, your grandma could put you in a closet. Ah! No, Jesus! Don't go to Agua Mansa either. No, that's a Colton thing. See, but what up, Paul? You know what's up. Don't do it. Okay, so... The bottom line is this, is when Jesus comes and wraps everything up at the end of time, everything good, evil, gets judged. And when you feel the pressure, when you just feel, when you get that overwhelming sense of depression and you're like, you have no idea where it came from. When you're in the middle of the night and you just wake up and you're frightened, you're scared, you can't sleep, and you have no reason why. When you feel that overwhelming pressure and sensation to just step away from God, to quit, when it feels like all of hell has conspired to work evil against you. Because you know you have those days where everything seems to go wrong and you don't know why. And you begin to say you say things like this. God, why do bad things happen to good people like me? Because I'm so good, and these are so bad. When you say those things, know that the very powers of hell cannot stop you, because their future has already been planned. Some crazy verses up in Revelation. Yeah, we'll go back there right now. Back in Revelation 20. Let's go to Revelation 20, verse 7. Let's go to verse 7. Go ahead, put them up there right there. It says, now, the Bible talks about wrapping up the end of time, 1,000 years, this and that. It says, Satan, the Satan, the bad guy, the prince of powers of darkness, says he's bound up and imprisoned. He does damage and he's wreaked. It says, in 1,000 years, Satan will be let out of his prison. Kind of crazy. And it says this in verse 8. It says, oh, here, give it to me. He'll go out and he'll deceive the nations, called Gog and Magog. Don't name your dogs that, because that'd be weird. In every corner of the earth, Satan will go out. He'll begin to wreak havoc and destroy things. He'll begin to turn people's hearts away from God. Sounds a little bit like now, personally, but he says he'll gather all these nations, gather them together for a battle, a mighty armor, a numberless as the sand among the seashore. And it seems, the picture here, it seems like Satan's going to win. It seems like he's gone through the earth and he's gathered up an army to take out God's people. It feels like it's a 10-1 match. You versus Mayweather, not Pacquiao, Mayweather. Sorry, low blow. It says, numberless as a sand among the seashore. Next verse. It says, and I saw them as they went up in the broad plain of the earth, surrounded God's people, surrounded in the beloved city. But a fire from heaven came down on the attacking armies, and it consumed them. Next verse. And the devil, who had deceived them, was thrown into the fiery lake of burning sulfur, joining the beast, the false prophet. And they were tormented day and night forever and ever. You know, the enemy that we face hates us. He doesn't like us. We're taking his place, man. God don't love him no more, but God loves us. We have an enemy that wants to see us fail. He wants to see your family ripped apart. He wants to see your future destroyed. But you see, God has a plan for him. And at the end, when everything wrong has happened, God will come through and he'll make it all right. And every evil thing done will be put away. Every hurt will be healed. Every tear will be wiped away. And the Bible tells us that even those that do evil, Satan himself, will get his end. So when you feel like hell is bullying you and pushing you around, it's just because they know that their time is short. It's because they know that you're on your way to heaven. And they know that you are God's beloved. And you just simply have to remind them, look, you're a punk and you can go to hell. I mean, when you pray, you need to pray aggressively because your enemy can hear your voice and you can put him at a stop because his future is certain. You see, and you can do that because your future is certain. If you love Jesus, if you're living for God, if you've given your heart, if you are a son or a daughter of Jesus Christ, then that first verse we read says that nothing can separate you from God's love. You from God's love. Hell, death, life, bring it on. Because me and God are like this. Like that. Me and God are cool. You can't pull us away. Nothing can pull you away. There's this verse in 2 Corinthians. If you guys want, you go put it up there on the board. No, I'm done. I'm going to read this verse to you. 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 5. And it's just, this whole part of the Bible is just really cool. If you guys need something to read, if you don't want to read the Bible, 2 Corinthians 4, 2 Corinthians 5, it's just kind of cool. And it begins to talk about you. It says, now we know that this earthly tent that we live in is taken down. That is when you die and you leave this earthly body. Look, you look good, but just you wait. Life is okay, but just you wait. When your life is done and over, we have a house in heaven, an eternal body made for us by God himself. Your six-pack, brother, is coming. Amen. Because right now it just ain't working. This earthly body, this tent, a little saggy. Okay. It says an eternal body made for us by God himself, not by human hands. Woo, thank you, Jesus. Even though we grow weary in our present bodies, because you know it's hard getting up 6 in the morning. You hit that snooze button a couple times. We long to put on our heavenly bodies, just like new clothing. Next verse. And when we put on our heavenly bodies, we will not be spirits without bodies. So that's kind of interesting, don't you think? While we live in these earthly bodies, we groan and sigh. That's what your parents tell you. I can't understand you. You're mumbling. Yeah, that's what that is. But it's not that we want to die, get rid of these bodies that clothe us. Rather, we want to be put on our new bodies so that these dying bodies will be swallowed up by life. Next. Keep on going. I got a billion verses here. Just roll with me. God himself has prepared us for this. It's a guarantee that he has given us his Holy Spirit. We're always confident, even though we know that as long as we live here in these bodies, we're not at home with the Lord. We're just passing through. We live by believing, by faith, and not by seeing. We're fully confident that we'd rather be away from these earthly bodies and be at home with the Lord. Lastly, it says this. So whether we're in this body or away, our goal is to please him. Pastor Richard, what the heck does that mean? That's a lot of crazy, interesting things. Here's what it means. God's thoughts for you are good. If you're tired, you want to quit, you just want to rage out, run away, you just want to Pastor Richard, I'm just done with life, just pass the doobie, man, because I want to forget about it. I don't know if people say doobie anymore, but that means weed, okay? But if you just want to check out, you just want to give in. The temptation is too strong. You have to recognize and realize this. It's not worth it because God's future for you is better than this world's future for you. Look, God's got a will for your life, but so does Satan. Whose will will you choose? You know, think about it. Think about it. What would your future self in 15 years tell you? That's right. What would 30-year-old Whitney tell 15-year-old Whitney or whatever you are, Whitney, I don't know. What would the 30-year-old you say? First off, you'd say, take care of your knees and your back. Secondly, what would the 30-year-old, that's right, the old you, tell the young you?
You should don't.
Or do. What would the 30-year-old you tell you right now? Think about it. Yeah, okay. You thinking about it? Good, because that's why I'm pausing. Hey, look, in life, you get one shot. Today, you're building your future. And every decision you make for Jesus Christ gets you closer to the future that he has for you. You know, we just saw that God has all these plans for you. You just saw that God's love will never fail. It's just waiting for you to follow after it. And we saw these crazy verses in 2 Corinthians that says that life is more than here and now. Jeremiah 29:11 says, if everything sucks around you, it's okay. It's going to get better because God's plans are not to leave you in the middle of it, but to get you through it to the other end. And the Bible tells you that it's okay. Even if the worst happens, it's more than life today. A life lived in hell today is a life that could be so much greater in heaven tomorrow. That's kind of a crazy thing to think about. But I'm going to tell you this. Life's hard, but it's worth it. Your future looks good. In this room are people that are going to be the first high school graduates in your school. Some of you will be the first person to graduate college. Oh, not your school, your family. Some of your schools are pretty jacked up, but not that jacked up. Some of you in this place, this is where it gets inspirational, guys. You'll be the first ones to graduate college in your family. I know it because some of our youth workers have been able to do that. Some of you guys are going to be the first one in generations to have a marriage that doesn't end in divorce. Some of you guys are going to be the best father in your family that's full of single moms. Some of you guys in this place, maybe you're the only Christian in your family. You're the only one that goes to church. I know what it's like to do that. But it won't be that way for long. Look, I'm telling you guys, God has written your future. You just have to follow it and walk into it. Look, God knows how the end is. How you get there is your decision. So you have to follow after the things that God's given you. In this place, let's wrap this up. In your life, God has a future. There's two options. And the crazy thing is, like I just said, you have the choice to choose from one of those two options. See, your future will either be with God or away from God, heaven or hell. So which future do you want? Do you want, excuse me, ooh, I know, right? Which future do you want? Do you want a future with God or away from God? Do you want a future in heaven or a future in hell? It's your choice. Look, God's already set it up for you. He's just waiting for you to make the decision. So bottom line, today, if this was your last moment, where would you spend your forever? Well, a lot of people say, Pastor Rich, I think I'm going to go to heaven. Well, what makes you think you're going to go to heaven? What makes you think? Well, I don't know. I mean, I maybe you're thinking I'm a good person. Good people go to heaven, bad people go to hell. That's cool. A lot of people think, well, Pastor Rich, I'm in church today. I'm spiritual. You know, I grew up like this. I pray every once in a while. My grandma, my grandpa, they pray for me. And that's cool, too. A lot of people think, well, I believe in God. I do Christmas and Easter. And doesn't that count for something? Well, yeah, that all counts for something. But it's not what God's looking for. What God's really looking for is this, is he's looking for something bigger than your butt in a chair. He's looking for something bigger than you being a nice, polite person. No, God's looking for something bigger than those things. He's looking for someone whose heart has been given to them, whose heart has been given to Jesus Christ. What are you talking about, Pastor Richard? This is what I'm talking about. Is God wants more than you just to believe in him, to know a couple facts, memorize a couple sentences out of a book. No, God wants your life.